In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. In the ancient world, death by the cross was the symbol of the most complete dishonor that the Roman Empire could show to a person. To die on the cross was to be completely dishonored. The cross was the way of Christ's death. He died on the cross. But it was his way of accomplishing victory, not defeat. He accomplished the victory over death and sin by his death on the cross and his resurrection, and resurrecting along with him the fullness of our true and perfect humanity, which we can share. Outside of the Orthodox faith, there is a rather narrow understanding of the meaning of the cross. The understanding is that Christ died and sacrificed himself on the cross as a substitute for us. But that is only a very narrow part of the reality, the accomplishment of his death on the cross and his resurrection. Saint Gregory Palamas said that if Christ did not win us our freedom by his death on the cross, then the cross is still the symbol of dishonor. If Christ simply died on the cross in our replacement, so that we need not be punished, but he was punished instead, then the cross is still a symbol of dishonor. Because Christ, God, came into the world to trample down the enemies of his kingdom, to make it possible for us to be sharers in his life, the life of the kingdom. And if he did not accomplish that on the cross, then the cross is still the symbol of dishonor. But the cross is not the symbol of dishonor. The cross is the symbol of the victory of Christ over sin and suffering and death. And we can share in that victory. The cross is our weapon against death. The cross is our weapon against sin in a way that law could never be. The law could never accomplish the destruction of sin, the destruction of the root of sin, which is death. In all sin, there is the smell of death. The cross has destroyed the power of death. The cross is our weapon against sin. St. Paul's letter to the Romans, he says something that St. Gregory Palamas comments on in a way that can help us into this original Christian understanding of the meaning of the cross. St. Paul wrote, "Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." What does it mean to be carnally minded? To be carnally minded means that our mind is set on the desires of the flesh, a lust for the things of the world, security, the desire to fulfill ourselves bodily so that we don't feel the presence of death. When we feed ourselves on the best kind of food, the best kind of meats, the choicest cuts, our bodies feel strong and alive in a strength of the body's own when we feel secure with the things of the world, we forget God. We become carnally minded, not spiritually minded. And St. Paul says that the carnal mind has enmity against God. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Nor indeed can it be. The carnal mind cannot be subject to the law of God. The law cannot destroy the power of the love of the carnal mind for the things of the world. That's why we can't simply come to confession and confess our sins and then go and try not to sin. We're fighting against the carnal mind with our own carnal mind, with our own love of ourselves and our own love of the world. It's impossible that we could have victory. Only Christ's cross can give victory. If we go and read St. Gregory Palamas' sermon for this day, we find him using St. Paul's words, the words we have just read. But the way St. Gregory understands them, you can see in the Greek, Christopher Vinamenoff, when he translated from St. Gregory's Greek into English, translated including the sense that Gregory sees in St. Paul's words. And so, Vinamenoff's translation of St. Gregory's Greek into English differs slightly, not contradictory, but slightly, to gain a different sense of the Greek words than we find in our English translation. In that translation, St. Gregory Palamas quotes St. Paul, Romans 8, "Sin is not itself subject to the law of God." Sin is not subject to the law of God. Rather than saying the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, because the carnal mind has to do with the love of the things of the world. Sin, turning toward the things of the world, as Adam and Eve did to the tree, a created thing, in order to be like God. It was a lie, it was a trick. Death came into the world. Sin became almost inevitable when we try to fulfill ourselves in the world. The law was given as a help, but it can't destroy sin. Sin is not subject to the law of God. Sin is exactly the opposite of following the law of God. And so we have a struggle within ourselves that we cannot win. Sin is not killed by the law, Gregory Palamas would say, but sin is destroyed by the cross. Sin is destroyed by the cross. And we can share Christ's cross by following his commandment to pick up your cross, he says, and follow me. Pick up your cross, take up the weapon that I have given into your hands against sin, and follow me. With this weapon, which I have forged by my death and resurrection, you can destroy sin as you were unable to destroy sin before. Simply by trying to follow the law, using your own carnal mind. But this weapon, the cross, will give you victory. If Christ's death on the cross did not win us freedom from being controlled by our passions, by sin and suffering and the presence of death in the world, then we are still in bondage. And the cross is of no good to us. We wear the cross not simply as a sign of the sacrifice of Christ and his willingness to put himself in our place and die on our behalf. We wear the cross as a sign of the victory of Christ over death and sin, and the fact that we as Christians, If we choose to take up the cross and use it as a weapon against sin, can also have that victory, that freedom. That is the teaching of the Christian faith. We need not be subject to the presence of death in this world. We can walk through this life and have victory over every suffering that comes to us. Archimandrite Zacchaeus once said, "It may be that more suffering comes to Christians because those who are not Christians spend their whole life in one purpose, trying to avoid suffering. But suffering comes to them anyway. And when it does, they have no weapon, they despair." Christians do not try to avoid suffering. They don't seek suffering. But as it does to every human being in this world, suffering comes to us. But when it does, we have a weapon to destroy the power of suffering over us, to drive us into despair. We have the weapon of the cross, and we can destroy the sinful turning away from hope and love and God Himself that suffering can drive us into. Instead, we know that this suffering can be a passageway and a conflict within ourselves with an outcome that is inevitable, that we will have Christ's victory over that suffering. When Jesus Christ tells us, "Take up your cross and follow me," He isn't talking about us taking up the miserable cross of our suffering in the world without hope so that we can die but not go to hell, because He has saved us from hell. That is a corrupted understanding of the Christian faith. When He says, "Take up your cross and follow me," He is calling us to follow Him through a life of victory against suffering and sin and ultimately death itself during the course of our entire lives. There is nothing, no challenge in this world that can stand up against the power of the victory of Christ's cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.